everyone. Making sure everything's working. Because I organise all the tech, I've got to make sure I can make it work, right? It's my privilege to bring the word this morning, and I need to tell you that this morning's message is not as big as it needs to be. All right? Because, I mean, I could have you sitting here all day if you'd like, but awesome. But I just want to say up front that today we're going to look at certain aspects of what we're looking at today, and it's by design. It's because I don't have time to look at everything together, but I encourage you to go and explore it for yourselves after church today and go and have a look at what the Lord has in the extended director's cut version, if you like. But you have to make that up. I don't have that for you. So we know that we've been looking at In His Footsteps. This has been our journey this year. And this month of August, we've been looking at praise and worship. Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Lars. And it's my privilege and blessing today to bring this mini little series to a close. So we've already looked at, we've had 4 weeks already in August, and this is the summation of this topic. So today what I'd like to do is I'm going to open in prayer, and then we're going to have a look at this topic together. So Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us on the cross. That you have, as Jordan said, you've redeemed us so that we can be adopted into your family the way it was meant to be in the beginning. And Lord, as we look at this topic today, I ask and pray that you would speak through me. That, Lord, it would be your words this morning. That, Lord, our hearts, including mine, would be open to the messages you have for us, to the challenge you have for us today. And Lord, that we wouldn't be afraid to step into what you are calling us to, because we know that when we step into what you are calling us to, Lord, we are centering ourselves in your will, and we are walking in the plan that you have for us. So this morning, Lord, come and be in this place. We already know you're here, but Lord, open our hearts to hear you and to respond to you this morning. We thank and we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Praise and worship. That's what we've been looking at. Now, the first week actually wasn't this one. It was our testimonies and sharing, remember? We had our breaking of the Sabbath. We had a big meal together and we shared with each other what we'd learned from God. We'd celebrated the breaking of the Sabbath together. And then Ben shared with us praise and worship because Satan has been overcome. That is, we can praise and worship the Lord because he has defeated Satan. And we learned as well that, you know, Ben made the point that worship is not the singing that we do in church. Even though that's the phrase we give it, we call it worship. But that's not what it is. That worship is actually a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle choice. And singing and being in church together is part of that, but it's not all of it. Then Gavin shared with us the story from the woman at the well. And his point was that God is spirit and truth, so we must worship him in spirit and truth. That we can worship God anywhere. We don't have to be in a church building. We don't have to be anywhere specific, but that we can worship God everywhere because he is everywhere, and that we should be doing that with our lives. Last week, Helen shared with us about sacrificial praise. And part of that was the praise that comes and the worship that comes in the struggle of life. That it's easy to praise God when everything's going well. It's easy to be happy and joyful with the Lord when my life is happy and joyful. But as we all know, life isn't like that all the time. And the encouragement that even in the difficulties of life, we are to praise and worship the Lord. Because as Helen shared from the Great Commandment, that God wants the all of the all of us, our heart, soul, mind, and strength. All of us he wants, and all of us needs to worship him and bring him praise. And so today I thought it would be amiss if we didn't finish this series with these two questions. Praise and worship. Why should we praise and worship? And how do we praise and worship? Now, some of the things you're going to hear today, you know, but it's great to be reminded of, and it's great to have that refreshment in our hearts. But today, what I'd like you to do is just come along on the journey with me. Don't go, oh, yeah, I know this. I've heard this before. All right? Come along because God has something fresh for you. Do you believe that the Word of God is living and active? Yeah? That means that every time we read it, God speaks to us through it, even if we've read it 1,000 times. So my encouragement to you today is let the Word of God speak to your heart today because He has something new for you today. You with me? All right. So let's think about praising and worshiping. When we praise and worship people in the world, right, it's normally because of who they are, their character, or what they've done. All right, now this is just a few generic ideas. So they might be a sports person and we praise them because they're so good at their game, or they did something amazing in that game last night, like the Raiders winning the minor premiership, right? Right, amazing, and we give them praise for that, right? We go, oh, they've had such a great season. And we give them, I know Helen has no idea what I'm talking about. And we give them praise for that because they have achieved something. They've worked hard and they've achieved something. They might be a musician or an actor, or they might be a scientist or a leader, right? We give them praise because of what they've done, because they've done something that we say, oh, that's praiseworthy of. And maybe, if you're a teacher, you give your student praise because they've done a great job with whatever's in front of them, or your children, you give them praise, or maybe you give your spouse praise when they clean the house. Mine's not here today, so I can say that. I'm the one getting the praise, by the way. So, you with me? We attribute praise and worship because of who people are and what they've done. Okay? So today, and this is the first point of, we can't go into everything, but this is the question I want to ask you. Well, who is God? Who is God that He should be worthy of our praise? Who is He? All right. Now, there are many, 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 many verses and stories and accounts that we can give to tell us about who God is. Today, I really want to narrow it down for our purposes today. So please go and explore this further yourself. But I've come up with this little phrase to try and encompass who God is. God is a supreme being, the creator and ruler of all that is, the self-existent one who is perfect in power, goodness, wisdom, and love. This is a tiny little summation of who God is. We can see this in His nature. The Bible tells us that God is spirit. By nature, He is intangible. God is one, but He exists as three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is infinite, incomparable, and unchanging. And God exists everywhere. He knows everything. He has all power and authority over everything. You with me? Sounds like someone worthy of our praise, right? And our worship. We also see who He is in His character. We see that God is just, that He is loving, that He is truthful, and that He is holy. We see that God shows compassion, mercy, and grace. And we also see that God judges sin, but also offers forgiveness. Lightning round of who God is. But this is who He is. God is everything that is good. Everything that is good, He is. More so than we could ever imagine and understand. So based purely on that, well, He's worthy of our praise, isn't He? If we're looking at who He is, but also we look at what He's done. So what has God done? Well, again, this is a big, big area, and I want to focus on just a small section of it. But I want you to go away and you can read your Bible. It's all in there, what God has done, and we can praise and worship Him. But what I want to focus on today is, if you're a believer in Jesus, then at some point in your life, you came to believe this too, because this is what God has done for you and God has done for me. See, the Bible tells us that God created us. In the beginning, God created us and He created a perfect world. The world wasn't the gift. Yes, it was a gift, but the perfect gift was that we had perfect relationship with God, that we walked with Him in the garden, that there was nothing between Him and us, that we had perfect relationship with the Almighty, all-loving God. But we know that through sin, we broke that relationship. and we separated from God. Because God is everything that is good and just. He cannot tolerate sin. And so sin in our hearts and our lives caused a disconnect, a broken relationship. We could no longer be in God's presence because we were sinful. Then we see that God made a way for us to come back to him through the life and death and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, who was fully God yet fully man, who gave up all that heaven has, all the glories of heaven, to come and live as a human, experience life on earth, fully God, fully man, and to die in our place, the perfect sacrifice for us to pay the penalty for sin. Now, if we stop there, that's enough to worship God for. That our sin has been forgiven and we are no longer objects of God's wrath. We are no longer due the penalty, to pay the price for our sin, but that Jesus carried that for us. But then God goes a step further and Jesus rises from the dead, and anyone who believes in him and follows him with their life and now has the promise of a restored relationship with God and eternal life in heaven with him. Not just eternal life in heaven, but that God will walk with us and be with us on this life on earth, preparing us for our eternal life with him back in heaven, where we are once again restored in that relationship, where we are, there's nothing between us and God. We are together, we are loved, we are part of that family again. We call that the gospel message, don't we? We call that the gospel message. And I just want to show you from scripture that I didn't just make it up. Right? We know that God created mankind in his image, the image of God who created them, male and female. We were made in the image of God out of love, and made and designed to be in relationship with a God, the good God who loves us. We know that holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. God's glory is unending. It is everywhere. And we are meant to dwell in his presence, in his glory. And as I said, Romans says here that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We broke the relationship. We are born sinful and we separate ourselves from God because of our sinfulness. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The penalty for that sin is death. And not just death on earth, but eternal separation from God for all eternity. Ouch. If God is everything that is good, and my sin deserves separation from everything that is good for all of eternity, I don't want to be there. Because there is nothing good there, ever. There will nothing good be there. The Bible tells us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We know that there is nothing we could do, we could ever do to repair our relationship with God. We're not good enough. But Jesus was good enough. And while we were separated from God, Jesus came. And Jesus paid the price for us so that we could be reunited with God. But there's something we have to do in that space, friends. We have to repent. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Jesus has made a way for us to be forgiven, but we're not forgiven unless we accept the gift. God has given us free choice in our life, and we have to make the choice. The gift is there. Jesus is there. The gift is there. But unless we take hold of it, we don't have access to it. We are not forgiven unless we come and we say, yes, Jesus, I repent and I turn to you. Romans tells us if we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. Again, we have to make that choice. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Oh, what has God done? He's gifted us eternal life through Jesus Christ. He's gifted us forgiveness of our sins. Remember, why do we praise and worship someone? Well, because of what they've done. God has gifted us this eternal life and forgiveness of our sins, knowing full well that I don't deserve it and there's nothing I can do to earn it. He has made a way and he's gifted this to us through Jesus Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't often think about it like this in my Christian walk. I'm like, yeah, I read my Bible and I pray. But in stopping and slowing down and looking at what the gift of God is and what he has given us, man, it's good to be reminded of it because my heart goes, Jesus, that's usually all I can say. Thank you. I have to say thank you here, Lord. And as I said before, there's also then the promise of eternal life. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, peace has been made. The penalty has been paid. The debt has been erased, or really it's been paid for. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. My old life of sin is gone. My new life has come because I've taken on the life of Jesus Christ in me. And I'm then reconciled to God. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life and his life is in his Son, in Jesus. So not only is my relationship repaired, my sins are forgiven, I'm made right again with God the Father, but I'm also promised eternity of life with him too, that I will be with him for the rest of, time will stop, right? But for the rest of time in our finite minds. This is amazing, isn't it? This is amazing. God did this for me and all I did was go to him, essentially. I turned my back. I told him to go away. I ignored him. I didn't want to do what he asked me to do. And yet he said, I will still make a way for you to come back to me. You see, friends, because God is just, he cannot leave sin unpunished. Because if he did, that would be against his character and he would no longer be God. And so he needed to make a way. And Jesus was that way. You see, on the cross, this is what happened. You see, justice is getting what we deserve. That's the word. Justice means we get what we deserve. And on the cross, Jesus, the perfect, who died for us, the Son of God, the Son of Man, his death on the cross fulfilled the need for justice against the law of God. He fulfilled that in our place. So the penalty could be paid. He fulfilled that. And on the cross, we received mercy. Now, mercy means not getting what we deserve. So God, Jesus, paid the price and we received mercy. So we were no longer objects of God's wrath through Jesus Christ. We received God's mercy. But then God puts an added bonus on that and he gives us grace. And grace means getting what we don't deserve. And what is that? That is the promise of God who lives and walks with us on earth and is preparing us to spend an eternity with him. And eternity is part of that gift as well. Amazing, right? How can I not praise and worship a God who has done this for me? I think as Christians, and particularly those of us who have been Christians for a long time, it's good to remind ourselves of what God has done for us and who God is. So, we've had a look at who God is. We've had a look at what God has done for us. And again, please read your Bible. There's plenty more in there about that. That's a snapshot. So then the question is, how? How do we praise and worship God? How should we do it? That's the next logical step, right? What does it look like? Well, it's simple. Fulfill your destiny, friends. Fulfill your destiny. Yeah, sounds like the plot of a cheap Disney movie, right? Or pretty much any movie that's out there at the moment. If I can only find my true calling, my destiny, everything will be great. Isn't that the story the world tells us? You know what? It's not wrong. They're just looking in the wrong place. Right? For us to praise and worship God, we need to fulfill our destiny. Now, back when I was in Bible college, in Theology 101 class, it must have been probably even the first lecture I was in. Our lecturer comes in and asks us the question, what is the purpose of humanity? Class, why are we here? Great question, the first day of Bible college, right? Well, I'm asking you, what is the purpose of humanity? Why are we here? And my lecturer referred us to the Westminster Short Catechism from 1647. Anyone heard of that? Yeah, great. So essentially what happened was the Church of England and the Church of Scotland were trying to align. And so they had a big meeting, and they nutted out the essentials of the faith, right? They said, this is the essentials of the faith that we need to agree on in order to be together. Now, the number one point on that short catechism is, what is the chief end of man? That's the question, right? That's the number one question on that list, the top thing. What is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Now, that's a bit ye olde English for me, so I've rephrased it for us. What is humanity's purpose? Humanity's purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That is why we exist. That is your destiny. That is my destiny. This is the destiny of every human on the face of the planet and every destiny of the human that is to come. We are created to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That is why God created us. Because he loves us so much, he wants us to be in his presence and be part of who he is. Amen. Thanks, Ben. What is your destiny? To bring God glory and enjoy him forever. That's your destiny, friends. That's mine. That's the purpose of every human on the face of the planet. All right. So, how do I do that? How do I bring God glory? Now, my study this week, well, the last 2 weeks really on this message, it's really only, well, there's two things in the Bible. There's two things in the Bible, and that's it. How do you bring glory to God? These two ways. And I want to share them with you. You ready? Yeah, you sure? All right. I could stop here. No, I won't. The number one way of how we bring glory to God is to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's it. We bring glory to God by being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Don't believe me? Let's look at some scriptures together. Again, this is a snapshot of the scriptures, and I'll give you a list at the end so you can snap all the references and go read them yourself. All right, let's have a look. The Bible tells us, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Transformation. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once were regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Transformation. From old to new, from old life to new life, from my old life of sin to my new life in Jesus Christ. Romans says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Transformation. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? Right here. Read it, know it, study it. That's how we renew our mind, so that we can approve and attest what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans again, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, transformation, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. He is calling us to transformation. He is calling us because he has work for us to do. We will be justified and we will also be glorified because we are glorifying the Son and we're glorifying God. Again, transformation and bringing glory to God. Philippians 3:7-14. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Again, transformation. My old life I'm leaving behind. I'm picking up the new life of Jesus Christ. Whatever was old is gone to me. I consider it lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, says Paul. And we all know in the text he actually means a bit ruder word than garbage there. Refuse, gone, disgusting, go, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Again, transformation, transformed into the likeness of Jesus. He says, I want to know Christ. This is Paul. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Transformation, becoming like Christ. But note here, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings. It's not an easy road. Transformation into the likeness of Christ is not an easy road for us. Because there's always a fight in our life between my old self, my old sinful self, and my new life, and they want to fight. And in the morning, my old life says, how can we do what we want to do today? How can we satisfy ourselves? And my new life says, how do I satisfy and follow Jesus today? And there's a battle. You know it, don't you? You know it. You feel it. You feel the struggle, right? It's not an easy tick the box, I'm done, let's go. It's a struggle. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Again, transformation, pressing on towards the prize. The prize, my life becoming more like that of Jesus here on earth. And then that life fitting me for heaven with him and eternity with him. I press on, I transform, I work at saying yes to Jesus and saying no to me in terms of my sinful nature and my heavenly nature. Let's keep going. Ephesians. As you know, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. Transformation. The old life of sin and transgressions is now dead. When we followed the ways and the rule of the kingdom of the air, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Sounds like my old nature. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. My old life, my sinful nature. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. Transformation. It is by grace you have been saved. Amen. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Here is God bringing glory to himself through our lives as we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. See, I didn't make it up. The Bible tells us, right? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. I can't do it myself, friends. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We bring glory to God by being transformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ and doing the work that he has prepared for us to do. Yeah? Again, transformation. I know, I'm rifling through these passages. But I want to prove to you, this is the Bible says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Oh, how do I set my heart on things above? This and my relationship with Jesus. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Transformation. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Transformation. My old life is gone. My new life is here. Transformation. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. We know this passage so well. Put to death all of these things. Our old life is gone. We're transforming into our new life in Jesus Christ. We used to walk in these ways in the life we once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Transformation, right? Transformation. Don't lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Right there, transformation. Old life coming off, new life coming in. Change. transformation into the likeness of Jesus. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And bear with each other and forgive one another. Whoa, this requires transformation sometimes, doesn't it, friends? This one's hard. Oh, I really want to be mad at them. They just push my buttons. But we need to change and transform. That's my old self. My new self bears with one another, forgives, and brings unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts or in your hearts and be thankful. Now, there's a little bit more here, but I'm just going to talk here for a second. All of these things describe our new life in Christ. Paul even uses it to show us this is what our sinful nature is like. And these are the things that we're putting off. And we're putting on the new things of our new life as we are transformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And we see in these passages that being transformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ also brings God glory. Why? How? How does it do that? Because I'm different. You're different. You're different to the world around you. You're different to the way you used to be. You've changed. And the people around you will go, what are you on? What happened to you? Why are you different? What's going on in your life? And what does that open the door to, friends? It opens the door to you sharing with them, well, it's Jesus. And you know what? You can have this too. And what does that do? It brings glory to God. Because we're sharing him with others, right? We bring glory to God by transforming into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And here at the end, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything we do now in our new life is for the glory of God. It needs to be for the glory of God. Here's a list of the scriptures I used if you want to snap a photo of that or anything. You see, friends, God is transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. He's preparing us for an eternity with him. That's how he wanted to be in the first place. He's restoring us in our relationship with him so that we once again can live in his presence forever. But you see, God is also transforming me now for today so that I can live my life and you can live your life today and navigate this life, bringing glory to God in everything that you do. Why? So that others will see that change in your life and you can introduce them to Jesus. And then God will also be glorified in that place as well. Now, I realize I have really oversimplified this a little bit. And what I'm saying is hard. It's difficult for us to, with that raging battle going on between my sinful nature and my new life in Christ. I'm not saying this is easy. But what I'm saying is God has promised to us that he is with us. That God has given us the Holy Spirit in our heart, in our life, to lead us and guide us. But the choice is still ours. We still have to say yes to Jesus and allow that transformation to happen. So the transformation is not forced on us by God. He has made it available to us. It's all there. We simply need to say yes to Jesus, repent of our sins, and choose to follow him every day and say yes to taking on the life Jesus gives us and leaving our life of sin behind. Sounds really simple. It's often difficult for us to do in practice, but the promise is the Holy Spirit is with us to do and lead us and guide us. And you know what? The other thing God's given us, look around. Look around. Seriously, look around. God has given you, each other, to go on this walk together, to encourage each other, to pick each other up when we fall down, to teach, admonish, to pray for, to guide and lead. Right? Isn't that amazing? We're family. And family helps family, right? So don't do it on your own. You're not designed to do it on your own. You're designed to do it in community and family. And we're here to support each other and to encourage each other in that space. Just trying to work out where we are. Oh, yeah. And so the second one is to share Jesus with others. And I'm simply, I think I've shown that as our life gets transformed and as we are changed into the likeness of Jesus, the door's open for us to talk to others about Jesus because they see the difference in our life. Because our life is countercultural. The way we act, the way we respond, the things that we do and don't do are different to the world around us. And we stand out. And then when God opens the doors, take them, walk through them, take the opportunities. We know that Jesus gave us this commandment before he left. Because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We often look at this and go, oh, that's a missionary verse. Well, yeah. Do you know you're a missionary? In your family, in your workplace, when you go to Woolworths, when you're stuck behind that person in the queue, you're a missionary. And the more we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus, the more opportunities we have to share the gospel with others because they see the difference of Jesus in us and it brings glory to God the Father. So why do we worship God? Because he deserves it. He's worthy of it. I've given you such a lightning round run through today, but it's all here in the Bible. Read it for yourself. Discover the God who loves us and has done everything to make us right with him. When I didn't deserve it, we don't deserve any of it. God has made a way for us. So we've seen who he is in his character and we've seen what he's done. We worship him by being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ daily, by making a choice and saying, yes, I want to be transformed. Jesus, I want you to choose your life over my old life. I want to walk in your ways over my ways. And that's a daily walk with the Lord. How do we do it? We often have this question, God, what's the purpose to my life? What do you want me to do? This, that, something else, something else. And we're too far ahead of ourselves. God says, be transformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Bring glory to me by doing that. And then I will be with you as you make the decision about what job should I take? What should I study at school? Should I buy this house or buy this car or whatever it is that you're struggling with at the moment. The more that we are transformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ, the more the Holy Spirit speaks in our lives and leads us into the plan and purpose he has for us. And so that helps us with those other decisions that we seem to focus more on than actually being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So my encouragement to us today is simply to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We need to know the word. If you're not in this every day, what are you doing? If you need to know the Lord, it's here. This is the living, breathing word of God. The word of God. Jesus, John tells us, the word was in the beginning. Jesus, the word. We need to know God and Jesus, we need right here. And then we need to pray. God has given us the word and he's given us prayer. Now, when you pray, don't forget to stop and listen. Any good relationship is built on two-way communication. Would you agree? I need to speak and I need to listen. Who do you reckon invented that communication technique? So it makes sense that we use it with God. We speak and we listen and it's a two-way conversation and that relationship grows and deepens. And finally, which is often the tricky one for most of us, obey. Do what God is asking us to do. I can pray, I can know the word back to front, I can have a great relationship with God, but when he asks me to do something and I say no, I'm not being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. I'm living in my old sinful life. So as we come to the end of this series on praise and worship, we've looked at multiple ways of how we worship God in different seasons of our life. But today, I hope you've been reminded of why God is worthy of our praise and worship and why we should worship him. And I hope too that you now maybe understand a little bit better that simply, it's simple to worship God is to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, to say yes to God every day, to pick up the new life in Christ every day and lay down my old life of sin and to walk in his plan and purpose for us. And we do that together. We need to read the word together. We need to pray together. We need to obey Jesus together as a community, as a church family, and also in our individual homes and in individual lives as well. God's done so much for us. We don't deserve any of it. But in his mercy and his grace and his goodness and his love, he has saved us. And it's our job to bring glory to him by living a life that is being transformed into Jesus Christ and sharing him with others so they too can come into the family of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word that tells us of your character, of your nature, of who you are. And I thank you that you haven't left us on our own, that we wandered away from you. We broke our relationship with you, but you love us so much that you made a way for us to come back. And Jesus, I just want to again say thank you. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness for the times when I have picked up my old nature and said no to you. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in my heart and in all our hearts to say yes to you, Jesus, to be transformed into your likeness, to become the people that you have destined us to be, and to bring you glory by the way that we live our lives and by the way we have opportunities to share you with those around us so they too can come into your family. Lord, may we never forget what you have done for us, and may we always live a life that is full of worship and praise for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you that you gave up heaven for us, that you endured the wrath of the Father and bore our sin and redeemed us through your death and resurrection. And God the Father, I pray for each one of us that you would lead us in your plan for our lives, that Lord, as we spend, as we focus on being transformed into the likeness of Jesus, that Lord, you would continue to lead us and guide us and bring your peace in our hearts, no matter what we might be facing. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.